Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Bowley, and as always, sitting in, the editor at the MMA Corner and Scrap Fight Magazine, Mr. Josh Davis. What's going on, brother?
Oh, just enjoying the day, killing time until, I don't even know what to call tonight's main event, but I am intrigued. So I will be watching Bellator this evening and then UFC tomorrow. So as a fight fan, as always, something to look forward to.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. Look, I'm looking forward to tomorrow's event. You know, tonight's event, I realize they're promoting it, but my heart is just not in it. You know, my wife's birthday is yesterday. We're going to take her out tonight. I have no plans of cutting an evening short. You know, I just have to be honest. I'm probably just going to read the fight results on the MMA Corner. I'm a huge fan of Bellator. This main event and this card that they're putting on just goes to what you were thinking. I think I made that abundantly clear when they announced it. I tried to pump myself up for it, looking at Shamrock and how he's looking, and I just see an old man. There's nothing in this card that's motivating me to want to sit down and say, oh yeah, wow. Fights on the card, the undercard are great. It's just the main event that has got me twisted. And I don't mean that in a colloquial term or an ethnic kind of term. It's just that I'm physically conflicted about the whole thing. You know, like, what were you thinking? So, you know, that's basically where I am. Go ahead.
I don't think there's any question about our relationship with Bellator. And, you know, we love those guys. There's no question about it. Love Scott. I still love Bjorn, even though he's no longer with Bellator. Love Spike. Love Viacom. Have a great relationship with those guys. But I've said this numerous times. I have no idea what they were thinking. No, this fight should not be the main event. This fight should not even be happening. I cannot believe that Bellator is promoting this. And so I'm going to watch it. And I'll tell you why I'm going to watch it. The same reason that I would watch two trains ram into each other or two vehicles, whatever the case may be, because it's going to have some ramifications, and some may be good and some may be bad. Kimbo Slice has killed promotions before, literally killed them. And, you know, Bellator's putting a lot of eggs in this basket, and I really don't think they should. I don't know why they are. Because, again, you and I are two long-time fight fans. And even to us, this fight makes absolutely no sense. To the mainstream public, they're, you know, they truly are billing this as a freak show fight. And, again, I have to ask, Bellator, are you okay with being known as the promotion that puts on the freak shows?
That's my point, okay? With all the history that happened here, you know, and everything that happened, he just came to, look, I'm not going to gripe about it. Look, I'm just a guy with a podcast, okay? But as an avid fight fan, it's just like, really? You know, I mean, I love this sport to death. What this sport has done and will continue to do in the future, leaps and bounds about any combat sport out there. Honestly, we both know that. But how can Bellator really be put and be thought as a major number two promotion in the United States and North America? And they're expanding. You know, they have a deal in place with Bama, so I guess Spike UK now is doing big things and looking into that market. You know what I mean? And they have the deal with Fox in South America. And I'm just like, why would anybody want to come to Bellator after this? You know, why would you?
Because if I'm Michael Chandler, and he's actually said this, so it's not like I'm putting words in his mouth, but I have to agree with him. If I'm Michael Chandler, I'm pissed that I'm not the main event on this card. And I'll tell you why. Because for him, it's dollars. It's contractual dollars, the main event. And then it's sponsorship money because you're the main event. He's relevant in fighting and will continue to be relevant for Bellator for years to come. Shamrock and Kimbo Slice are not relevant to anything other than their immediate family and won't be relevant to anything other than their immediate family for the remainder of their fight careers. Their day is done.
And that's the point. You know, Chandler has been a loyal Bellator fighter. You know what I mean? Never talked about going, you know, to any other organization. Always been a Bellator fighter. You know what I mean? And it's just like, how? How was this possible? If that was a co-main event, I get it. Even if it was just a fight on the undercard, I get it. But to put this up at the pinnacle and say, oh, this is why you want to come watch this card, with all the history that's happened in this, you know, let's just call a spade a spade. If fight fans don't know and you're new to the sport, you know, Shamrock was griping with Elite XC about Kimbo coming in and getting more money than him, okay? Now, there were guys that were there. There are guys that weren't there. Nobody knows what happened, but mysteriously a cut happened, okay? Said it was an accidental cut. Seth Petrozelli comes in, knocks Kimbo's out, destroys the entire promotion because of the money that they sunk into that, you know? And it rubbed a lot of people wrong, a lot of people wrong, you know? Ancient history, whether that's unfinished business, it's marketing hype and garbage. Anyway, I think we both put our positions on record, you know? So let's just move on. Look, UFC event, 188, great event. I called it. I said, look, Verdum is definitely too relaxed. I think some of the biggest mistakes showed in that fight. He just said, I just have to sit here and weather round one and round two. Kane, to me, if I'm just being honest, he looked awful. He looked awful. And I don't know if it was because he didn't spend enough time there. I mean, to tell your camp, you're going to go a week before, and they're like, dude, you're fighting at elevation. Your boy was huffing it. Verdum was in the elements. He was training. He was laxical days. Kane looked completely uncomfortable being in Mexico City. Police escort, hotel. I'm like, his mind's really not into this, you know. And on top of that, he didn't fight. Everybody's like, oh, his cardio's there, not fight cardio. That's a completely different beast. I can tell you for free. It's completely different, you know. And by the time, he just looked horrible. I mean, I've never seen him take that many straight jabs, and his neck was snapping back. And to have his corner say, take him down, I was just like, bad move. Verdum has been waiting for that, and he's an ace on the ground. Sure enough. So my hat's off to Verdum, man. You know, hats off to Verdum. Also, hats off to the fight team at Fight Ready. It's a good thing we put them on this month's cover of Scrap Fight Magazine. They went 3-for-3 in Mexico City, so that's great. What did you think about the card?
First off, I thought the card was excellent. I thought there were some great fights. I thought, you know, I'll say this. I thought the Trevor Whitman move of stopping the fight in between rounds was excellent and very classy. And if people are paying attention, he actually got up on the apron and tried to stop the fight. Didn't have a towel, so couldn't throw in the towel, but was trying to verbally stop the fight. And the Mexican officials pulled him down and told him that he couldn't do it, that the fight had to continue, that the only person that could stop the fight was either a doctor or the referee. So he wanted to stop the fight in the middle of the second round because he was tired of watching Nate not perform. So all in all, I thought the card was great. I thought Verdum looked awesome. And like you said, I thought Kane looked terrible. He looked like a guy who hadn't fought in 2 years. He looked like a guy who wasn't prepared. He looked like a guy who didn't take Fabricio Verdum seriously. And he looked like a guy who paid the price.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Kane's been here before. Not like this, not like the beating that he's took, but he's lost the belt before. You know, I'm just happy now that there's a little bit more movement in the heavyweight division. You know, Kane can work himself back. He's probably one fight out of a rematch with him anyway. You know, but who's he going to fight? Verdum has a lot of other fights in there. You know, I would really like to see a rematch between him and Junior. I think they're both different fighters from when they were. And I'd actually like to see Verdum go against Stipe. I think Stipe's boxing is tightening up. It's tightening up very well. And I'd like to see that. You know, Verdum's hands have gotten slick. If I can just say that, slick is a boxing term for smooth, and it just, you know, it was not an ethnic kind of term, so to speak. But his hands have gotten slick, real slick, smooth. His only problem that I saw with Verdum is he doesn't have the head movement. You know what I mean? That he would need for some heavyweight punches. But I think a good matchup with a boxer like Stipe, I think that's going to be the truth, you know, in the fighting as to what's going to happen, you know. So that's another match. Those are the two matches really that I'm looking forward to for Verdum and see if they can be made.
The word I'm getting is that Stipe's probably going to be next for Verdum. It might be Orlovsky, but it's probably going to be Stipe. And that's a fight that I'm very intrigued by. I do think that Verdum has the head movement. If you go back and look at the Travis Brown fight, he had excellent head movement in that fight. I think against Cain, he just didn't feel that he needed it because he was walking him down. He was eyeballing him the whole time. Not me mugging him, but just looking him in the eyes pretty much the whole time and watching Cain basically give up. You know, Verdum knew what he was doing that whole time in that fight. You know, he ate some punches. He knew what he was doing, and I think in a fight with Stipe, he'd show the head movement needed to make it a good stand-up fight because, man, I do think that Verdum's boxing has become one of the best in the heavyweight division. The improvements that he's made over the past 4 years in his striking is second to none. It's insane. You know,
leaps and bounds. Leaps and bounds. Yes. Say it. Yes.
You know, now I got to be honest. If I'm a heavyweight, I know the only way I'm going to beat Verdum is really get that one punch knockout. You know, that's really what I think it's going to take right now until someone can truly just flat out outstrike him because you're not going to beat him on the ground. There's not a heavyweight in the game that's going to beat Verdum on the ground. We all know that. So you're going to have to outstrike him. And I think that's where Cain Corner was coming from. They knew they couldn't outstrike him. So they were just hopeful, hey, Cain's a, you know, world-class wrestler. Maybe we can just control position. And you can't.
Yeah, and the thing was, it was, you know, when looking at that fight, I'm just like, people always talk about head movement. But look, I always go back to white belt and yellow belt basics. I can only put it in those terms. Okay, you never throw a head movement just to throw. Just moving your head just to move your head is nonsense to me. And it seemed like that's just where he got to, you know. I'm like, well, how do you slip a jab from a larger opponent? You know, this is MMA, just not boxing. You don't have to completely bob and weave under it or completely slip it. To throw that lead leg kick to get him off that jab, then you slip under, bang, and you throw that either that straight cross or that lead jab back or a check hook. Three punches there for you. None of it never materialized and showed up. And I'm just like, you know, I've been striking for a while, but this is actually fundamental striking now. This is not advanced striking. This is basic fundamentals, you know. But,
you know,
two,
I don't see
it be a problem.
I'll give people the layoff. You know, I think Cain showed extreme ring rust. You know, he looked like he was debuting, to be real honest. You know, he was slow pulling the trigger. He was slow with everything. I don't think altitude was the problem. I think he got beat up. And when you get beat up, you get tired. But I honestly don't think altitude was the problem. Now, I live at altitude, so I've never had an issue with it, but I truly believe, because I see it all the time, that people, when they come up here, a week is enough to acclimate to the air, because that's all you're doing. If your cardio is on point, which his was not, he did not have fight cardio. He was not ready to be in a 5-round fight. He wouldn't have been ready to be in a 5-round fight with me, let alone anybody else. he just was not ready. I don't think it was the altitude. I don't think he was fight ready.
Right.
He was off for 2 years, you know, and I've had a lot of people tell me, well, why didn't Cain get a tune-up fight? You know, why aren't you saying that Cain should have got a tune-up fight before he fought Fabricio? Well, here's the thing about that.
He's
a
champion. How can he get a tune-up fight?
You.
He's a champion.
You can't give the champion coming off a layoff a tune-up fight. You can a contender because he's not the champion. He's not defending the belt. He's trying to win the belt. When you're defending the belt, whoever is thrown in front of you is your tune-up fight.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
King got a tune-up fight. It was Fabricio Werdum, and Fabricio Werdum tuned him up real good.
Yep, put it on him. Anyway, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back. We missed a new segment, so we'll hit that segment, see 5 or 10 minutes, and then we'll see what this UFC card, you know, in Germany is about. I'm really stoked about this card. Look, I think this 115-pound fighter, I can't pronounce her name. I don't even want to butcher it, but she's the truth. All she needs is well, let's go to break first.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.
All right, that's it for us. Short break. Did we miss any major news this week?
You know, there hasn't been any significant announcements. You know, it's funny. I don't think we're going to get anything like super significant until after Aldo and McGregor. I think the UFC's main media focus right now is to push that fight. I don't see us other than just a couple filler fights here and there. I don't see us getting any major news. Now, as far as major news goes, I will tell you this. I don't know what it is, but I do know that everyone other than George, because he's taking his wife out for dinner, he's a good man. Happy birthday to her as well. But everybody else, you guys do need to watch Bellator tonight because they do have a big announcement planned. I don't know what it is. I have asked, and they basically just told me, Josh, you're going to have to watch like everyone else. If we tell you, you'll leak it, which they're right. I would have. That's how we do business. So we got to watch tonight and see what's up, but they do have some kind of announcement going on.
Yeah, I saw that. And, you know, like I said, I'll be catching everything up on the corner tonight. You know, I'm not going to change any major plans. The news can't be that big because, you know, there's not that much rumbling in place to go, oh, no, this is a real event. You know, plus it's soured on the fact that they had this event. You know, if this was a different event where it was this, that, and the third, and, you know, you can amp yourself up and go, oh, man, something real big is going to happen. So, you know, who knows? But we'll see what it is, man. We'll see what it is.
You know, unless Fedor's coming out of retirement to fight for Bellator.
And even if he did, I wouldn't want him to. You know, for Fedor to do what he did, you know, it was the truth. Fedor was on his, a 29-fight winning streak before he met Werdum and got tapped. Then after that, he lost, 3 fights in a row. And the last one, he got knocked out by Dan Henderson. Then on his retirement fight, he gets a punchy, what's this guy's name? Pedro Izzo. Punchy.
Yeah.
So you can knock him out in Russia. Everybody's there. Putin's there. You know, all his folks are there. Send him off great. That's how you're supposed to go out. Okay? I don't care anybody tells
you. Leave it at that.
Yes, leave it at that. Fedor will go down as one of the best heavyweights in MMA history. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because you can look at his record, one, but also, two, regardless of how the tail end of his career happened, you know, he fought all these guys, all of them, that were anybody in their prime. Prokop, Nogueira, you name it. I mean, the only people he didn't fight was people that UFC didn't want to fight. Randy was somebody at that time. But all the major guys that people are still talking about now or, you know, on the downstroke, he fought them in their prime. then he beat him. You know, so that's
and as
why,
much
why,
as I love as much as I love Randy, Fedor would have whooped him. You know,
the only way
Randy wins that fight is with some, you know, ground and pound, and Fedor's going to clip him long before that ever happens.
So, you know, if that would rather him stay out. He did what he was supposed to do, you know, and walk away. Walk away, be done with it. But we'll see what the announcement is, man. We'll see. UFC event tomorrow. They're back in Germany. You know, from what I'm hearing, they're not too happy about Germany. I mean, Germany has had a kind of a funny little reception for mixed martial arts. You know, they didn't do too great, from what I understand, with the Cerrone and the other fight that I even forgot the name of the fighter that Cerrone knocked out. You know, it was the second round, but, you know. Let me ask you, why Germany and not Poland?
Well, I think the UFC still believes that there's a bigger market in Germany. And once they deal with all the governmental red tape that goes along with doing events in Germany and truly get the population around it again, I believe the UFC just believes that the bigger market is there. You know, they've been to Warsaw and they've done okay, but they think that if they can lock down Germany, that not only will they get, will they be able to tap into a nice little realm of fighters in that area, but market share moving again further into Asia. So we'll see how it goes. But they're dead set on taking over Germany. That is a priority to them.
All right. Well, we'll see. You know, I know on the amateur circuit, even for ITF Taekwondo, some of the most feared fighters come from Poland. It's the Polish team, it's the Argentinians, and it's the Russians. You know, those are the three countries that bring some of the best fighters, not sometimes all the time. You know, the next ones after that, literally that you'd love to see go head-to-head, is the North Koreans, you know. And they bring it. Those countries are in the top five when it comes to fighting. You know, I'm talking fall on your shield. You got to put me down in order to do it, you know. And that's why I said Polish fighters, man, they're the truth. And this young lady, all she needs is a good takedown defense. We don't have to worry about submission. Just don't get me on the ground. Keep her hands and feet tight because she has it. Little Chuck Liddell, she's going to be knocking people out, you know. You know, honestly, I mean, at 115, she's fighting 115 weight count ladies, you know. But she's going to start developing power where she's going to start touching girls' chins. You're going to see them going to sleep. I'm telling you. I see it in her technique. So that's my prediction for her. You know, Panay, I don't see her doing anything much tonight at all but trying to get it to the ground and wrestle her. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think Panay's going to get whooped. I like Joanna in this fight. I think that girl is vicious. I think she's the real deal. I wouldn't want to get hit by her, I'll tell you that. She reminds me a lot of Mark Hominick when he was precision and just lighting fools up. She has no wasted motion in her punches. Everything is spot on. Her technique is almost flawless. She's going to be wrecking fools for a while.
Yeah. And I like Jag. I don't even think Jag has anything for her. Nothing. At all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Her striking is just so crisp. And I see it. And that's why I said she needs just a good takedown defense. Because with that pinpoint accuracy, I'm telling you, man, in the next couple of fights, you're going to see young ladies at 115 pounds going to sleep. Knockout, straight sleep. You know, she has it. She just has to dial it in. So I'm stoked about it, man. I really am. I mean, the whooping she put on the champion who won the show, I mean, we both agreed that never should have happened. You know, but the UFC, that was their gimmick, and that's what they went with. And it sure showed. It sure showed, you know, in that fight. I felt sorry for the other young lady that got beat up the way she did, you know.
Yeah, Carla
Esparza. She had no place to go. She had no place to go, man, and she wanted out of the fight. You knew that in the second round. I mean, when you just start taking shots and you don't set them up, it's just like, please let me snatch something to get this girl off me. And it wasn't going to happen. So, yeah, man, definitely see. Definitely see.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I like Jessica Penny. I think she's a solid fighter, but she's not on JJ's level. She's nowhere near it. And, you know, again, I think the UFC is throwing the lamb to some lions, man. I think JJ's gonna light her up.
No doubt about it. Like I said, I'm really stoked about her, this young lady, man. I really am. You know, so we'll see how it turns out. But I don't see them bringing anybody in any type of competition at 15, even Paige. Look, Paige is hyper, you know, but you got to get those nerves under control. And the thing about it is when you're fighting a striker that has pinpoint accuracy, it's a different game. It's a different game, you know. And
Paige does not have the maturity to be in the octagon with JJ again. Different levels. You know, someday she might have the talent, but until you know how to control and what to do with that talent, doesn't matter. And that's the thing with Joanna right now. She has it dialed in. She knows what her talents are. She knows how to use her talents to the fullest extent. And she's dialed in mentally. She's there. She doesn't get nervous. You know, I say this all the time. You know, we live in America and things are different for us. Whether that's good, bad, whatever, doesn't matter. The fact is things are different for us. Go to Warsaw, Poland, and tell me they don't have a tougher life than we do. And I'll tell you, you're lying, because they do. It's a completely different way of life, and the way they train, the way they go about doing things is completely different. And she's been in this situation before. Paige hasn't. That's just all there is to it.
Man, look, I'm telling you, I've already named the top five fighters in the world, you know, either that we've gone against or we know that are great strikers, and they put it on the line, fall on their shield type fighters. You know what I mean? So,
yep.
Look, there's a lot of great things that are getting ready to happen, you know, in the UFC. But really, that's the fight I'm looking forward to see this young lady really let her star shine. You know, but we're also, what we're not promoting is the fact that this is the first actual main event type card on Fight Pass for the UFC. You know, so it's totally being broadcast. I think the whole card is being broadcast by Fight Pass, you know. Either for the U.S. fans. I'm not sure if they're doing the geo-mapping on it, but this entire card will be on Fight Pass. Yeah.
As per usual for us North American folk, us in Canada, we're all on Fight Pass. Everyone else throughout the country, they're normal free TV. Get used to this, because this, again, I've said it, this is all the UFC wants to do. They want Fight Pass and Fox. They are trying slowly, slug-like, to get out of the pay-per-view business. They want everyone to buy Fight Pass.
Yeah. I mean, look, why split the money up with the cable providers and everybody else? You know, with Fight Pass, you know what your money is monthly, just like Netflix and everybody else. You know, it's not too difficult to figure out. Not too difficult to figure out at all. And it's all yours. All yours, you know. So definitely is what it is. I think we basically covered everything. Don't forget, I guess, things start like in 45 minutes. I think Bellator's having their live weigh-ins sometime after 5. So we'll see. But there's another great show. Don't forget, did we hit everything? We did talk about everything, didn't we?
Yeah, we got through everything.
All right. Don't forget, for this or any other episode, you can go to the free Google Play Marketplace and download the Sports Action Network mobile app For the latest MMA news and information, go to The MMA Corner. That's TheMMAcorner.com. And check out the latest issue of Scrap Fight Magazine. That's ScrapFightMagazine.com with Fight Ready on the cover. I want to thank you, partner, for sitting in. Everybody else, enjoy your fights. Stay knuckled up. Thank you.